Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in... Three body problem. One year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver five times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues. It's Monday. Tonight, we have the huge, giant conclusion to Fantasy Suites of Grazie Season 28, as well as The Women Tell All. The
claws come out.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've heard that, but I think we are going to see some massive claws coming out tonight, specifically where Maria Gorgasart and Sydney, I forget her last name now, are concerned. Leia is going to get into that fight.
Not Hightower.
Not Sydney Hightower. But she, Maria, I mean, will have a lot to do, I think, in the tell-all in terms of positioning herself correctly to maybe be Bachelorette. This is really where they're going to be looking for it.
I'm concerned. I'm concerned by the trailer, which just has her calling Sydney annoying. That is not a Bachelorette edit in a trailer.
I agree with you. Hopefully her momentum will be strong enough that it won't matter, that she is the only choice for this.
Yeah, but I think she can turn it around. They are going to do Heartbreak Hot Seats with, it looks like, Jen, Lexi, and whoever goes home. Oh, God.
And whoever gets kicked off.
I would guess
Rachel.
Rachel's gains are tough for the top three.
I agree. But that's the era we're living in now. You got to do something to get those followers. It's not enough to just make it far in the game. You have to put in some kind of work that makes people think, I need to see what she's doing off the field. That said, speaking of what people are doing off the field.
In the larger game.
I would say in the peripheral game. Speaking of that peripheral game, this is...
Digging Deeper.
And as you know, on Digging Deeper, we're going to go through all these clips from around the nation. We also have some clips today from Love is Blind podcasts. Now, we know season 6 just concluded. of Love is Blind. It was the most watched season in the history of that show. Something now is interesting in the podcast sphere of Love is Blind. I would argue that the Sauce Wars have been a little quiet on the Western Front, aka Bachelor.
Simmering.
Yeah. They've been bubbling down. The sauce has been reduced. It is now just a perfect kind of beautiful tomato sauce to put on your spaghetti. Much better than Sundays with Joe. And
whoa, shots fired.
That's correct. But I do believe what we are now witnessing is Sauce Wars 2. The sauce is blind. It's starting to happen. It's starting to happen. You'll see in some of these clips.
Sauce is blind.
It's percolating. The ingredients have been put in the pot and it's been turned on high. And we're seeing the first bubbles come out of this sauce in the Love is Blind universe. And there are a bunch of clips that came out actually today, which I did not have time to cut into our show that will be here next week that are pure Love is Blind Sauce Wars. You've got company players upholding the 4TRR lie of the show. You've got attacks on people who are considered to be 4TWR. All of that will be next week. But you'll see some percolations here today.
It is so interesting to watch this timeline play out at a different rate than Bachelor, because it's been on for way longer, but also that one has gained a lot more momentum in a shorter time.
And it was born in the social media era. Bachelor was born before Instagram existed by a tune of like 10 years before. This was born right during, I mean, almost during the pandemic. It kind of came to prominence during that era where everybody was on social media. At any rate, let's jump in, Pace Case, to our first clip. It comes to us from Out of the Pods with Deep D and Natalie. This is from March 4th. In this clip, Deep D and Natalie discuss how the season 6 cast is using social media to contradict their edits. This is what I'm talking about. The percolations of the Sauce Wars 2, The Sauce is Blind. Here we go.
This cast is kind of spoiling their own endings through interviews and really just through like content that they put out there.
Yeah.
Like, why do you think that they're doing it? I know, like, I get it, right? But I feel like we haven't really seen it to this extent with previous seasons. I remember on our season, like, the last thing I wanted to do is, like, create a TikTok or, you know, put something on my stories to, like, clear something up. I just feel like this cast is definitely taking advantage of, like, the social media peak that they're at right now.
We're on season 6 now. It's like the cast has a blueprint of what to do and what's right if you're going to try to optimize the experience and like create a social media like platform, you know?
So totally.
It's like we didn't know at season 2, like, we barely posted because I was like so emotionally distraught about everything that's happening. I'm like, I can't handle posting right now.
I think we posted like photos together, like BTS content, but it was never like talking about the show and like defending ourselves to the extent this cast is doing while the show is airing. Like they are spoiling pretty much everything. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Love little tap.
Yeah. So here we have, this is very grocery store Joe-esque in my opinion. These are kind of the grocery stores. This podcast, Out of the Pods, is the de facto number one Love is Blind podcast. There is an official Love is Blind podcast. This is not it, but they kind of had the first biggest one. Now they're making these complaints about like, oh, they're using social media and we didn't have the blueprint. Natalie Lee has 689,000 Instagram followers and Deep D Vempati has 1.1 million and they have a giant podcast.
Let's go.
What are they talking about? Of course they know how to do it.
I mean, this is the sauce side of the Sauce Wars. It is saying, oh, when we did it, it was 4TRR. We're ancient in season 2. We were just reacting with our real emotions. Sure, we did a couple BTS photos, but not video content. Like, yeah, you're definitely different.
Right. That, like in Bachelor, when you have this conversation, it usually is from people who were around before Instagram, you know, like, oh, in season 16, like Courtney Robertson is a good example. She would have been a giant social media star had she just come along a few years later. But in season 16, Instagram was still in its nascent phases. The only social media in quotes to speak of at that time was like
Twitter,
Facebook and shit, MySpace. Yeah.
And sure, grocery came too because of Twitter, but
this is something different. They're saying, you know, in whatever it would have been, 2019, 2020, whenever season two was.
You know, pre-social media. Yeah.
They're like, social media didn't exist back then the same way. Yeah. It's like, no, it absolutely did. That's why your show was so big.
But they're definitely more prepared for the watch back period, and they have prepared all this content because that's what you should do. You're taking the most. I think they are a little pissed that maybe they could have optimized into it more, but you have a podcast that's always in the top 10 of the TV and film podcasts. Like, you have done it.
Yes. It's sour grapesing a little. There's a little Vial sprinkled in here that's like, I don't like how they're playing the game this season. And it's like, well, the game changes every year because new shows come out. New things happen on social media. And clearly,
people get braver.
Yeah. You're seeing what's happening with Trevor on Love is Blind, who came in as a professional player that had a full outside relationship to the show. That's going to happen more and more, I think. At any rate.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our next clip. This one comes to us from a podcast called Straight Up with Stassi Schroeder. And the guest was Caitlin Bristow. This was from February 28th. And in this clip, Stassi and Caitlin...
Is this just a present to me?
It's a present to us all. The shit that is discussed in this clip is pretty fucking wild. Caitlin is discussing the circumstances surrounding her pre-fantasy suite sexual encounter with Nick Viall. Here we go.
So was it a decision that you talked with your producers about? Like, or did you just say, fuck it and do it? Like, I want to know how much thought went into it. Like, were you like weighing the pros and cons? If I do this, it'll all be on national television. Am I going to have sex with all of them? Or did you talk to someone about it?
This was back in the day where they didn't have a 2-drink limit. And I remember being like drinking a lot of Jameson in Ireland and being like, nobody should trust me right now alone in a room with anybody. Like, this is bad. I'm really drunk. And they were like, hey, do you two want to be alone in a room? And we'll take away the cameras and mics. And I was like, what? Yeah. And then they did. And then this was before the fantasy suite. And I was like, getting it on. And then I started crying. And I was like, this doesn't feel right. I feel bad about this. I feel bad. And then they made it look like...
Wait, did you start crying while you guys were hooking up?
Yeah.
Have you done that before?
Never.
Wow. Yes. The details.
I know. Not only the details, it's like they were just getting her drunk as hell and then being like, hey, do you want to have sex with Nick Viall? And she's like, yeah, I guess. But that's how it was done back in the day.
I mean, interesting strategy. I like that.
Yeah. So we learn here a little bit more about, you know, what was one of the greatest plays in the history of our beloved game. That producers had a lot to do with it.
That she made.
Well, they both made it. It was a joint play for sure. But producers had a lot to do with it. They purposely got her very drunk, and then they kind of facilitated it. Here, go ahead and do it. And she felt so bad about it that she was crying during it. Now,
that she was crying, something she's never done before or at since.
Exactly. That's the power of the great one.
They got her to make a decision she was not ultimately happy with, which is, it's not great. And it's also like really reminding me of the wiping the lips to see what Nick Viall tastes like thing.
Exactly correct.
Same season.
But also, we don't know exactly why she was crying. Is it that she had some kind of, you know, regret about the actual thing?
Her first orgasm.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's another Raven Gates. That was in Nick Viall's contract. Yeah. He's like, listen, I'll do the show again. I'll come back in. But from here on out, every woman I have sex with, you have to say it's their first orgasm.
Yeah.
That's just, if I'm the Bachelor, I need a whole season of virgins or at least orgasm virgins. That's for me. That's how I like it. Okay.
Oh my god. Okay.
So here though, the thing that is interesting to me about her regret is like, did she regret doing it, like having sex with Nick Viall? Probably not, because she wound up having sex with him again in the fantasy suites. But or did she regret the possibility that she's like, fuck, am I going to get a villain edit? That's where I think the crying may have come from. I mean, obviously being drunk too, emotions are high, you're in this weird pressure cooker, but it feels to me, at least from, you know, I listened to most of this entire podcast and she never got really specifically into that idea of like, she thought she was going to get destroyed in the edit. But you have to know while you're doing that, that this is very much outside the protocol of the game.
It's going to jeopardize the other relationships.
Jeopardize the other relationships, but also make you potentially as a bachelorette look bad because the the construct of the game is like, you don't get to fuck until fantasy suites. That's how it at least has been presented over the years.
And it's never happened in document before.
Right. But it has happened plenty of times out of document.
I mean, I think she would know that.
Well, that's not, that's maybe not exactly true. Season 18 won Pablo Galavis with Claire Crawley in the waves. Although they didn't have intercourse, isn't it alluded to that she gave him a hand job in the waves?
They definitely allude to a bunch of stuff with Claire. They definitely imply, and then they make it look like afterwards that they are, that he's regretting it, that she like...
Yeah, he's like, I can't have my daughter seeing me like this. But doesn't she say something to him?
Yeah, how could you do this to my daughter?
The next day or something that's like, you owe me one? Doesn't she say something like that?
She's definitely talked about it and maybe explained.
I don't fucking remember.
I can't remember.
Anyway, let's move on, shall we, to our next clip. Now we're getting into the main course. These next clips, of course, come to us from the Vial Files from March 7th, 2024. The guests were Spidey, Spencer Pratt, and Heidi Montag. These are the clips that Dave Neal covered. This is where he's talking about the shitty other podcasts, et cetera, et cetera. But there were a bunch of clips in this. And in this first The Great One renders his judgment on clout chasers trying to get on reality TV. Here we go.
Oh, God.
You know, here's my opinion about generally this stuff. I think there are a lot of clout chasers and wannabe stars. And I generally think when it comes to this stuff, be careful what you believe. This season, some girl went super viral on TikTok pretending to be in a relationship with one of the contestants and things like that. I heard about something about the Minneapolis one. I think there was one girl who, I don't know exactly even what she said. She said X, Y, or Z. But buried in their comments was a comment from her saying she hopes the Bachelor producers see this so they can consider and cast her for their show. Huh. It's like These people can't help but be obvious about their clout chasing. So. Just take what you see with a grain of salt because, there's a lot of wannabes out there.
Now, what he's talking about here is the TikTok that was made insinuating that this woman dated Jimmy. And in Love is Blind. They're talking about Love is Blind at this point, season six. And, of course, that TikTok went viral. She made some money off of it, and it was just a complete lie. His hatred of what he calls clout chasers is wannabes. So wannabes. Yeah. It's like, again, this idea in his mind of like top four or nothing. You're a fucking wannabe if you're not the king of some podcast empire.
It's,
like
it's worse than civilian. It is wannabe.
Yeah.
You want to be me.
Exactly. Yes. And the idea that there are legitimate reality stars on some of these shows. And then there's these wannabes who get into reality TV to try and get famous. Said literally.
And the fan podcast.
In a room, he's sitting on a fucking couch with Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt. He himself was a wannabe at one time. So were they. Everybody is.
So was his partner.
Oh, God. Oh, God. What a good point. Fucking Natalie Joy. You telling me she's not a wannabe?
Natalie Joy!
She DM'd a fucking bachelor.
She DM'd you. How many followers did you have when she DM'd you?
It's infuriating. It's infuriating his attitude about it. That it's not like, you know, you look at some pro athletes, and there are some that are like this, that are standoffish and assholes, and they won't help fucking anybody else. But I think many more of them, because pro sports have been around a lot longer than reality TV, and the systems that have developed around them to like help players and promote players, and players can get jobs within the franchises and stuff now. And there's just, it's a much bigger system that you can have a career in. But I think the attitude of most pro athletes now, the big ones, unless they're assholes, is like, I'll help anybody who's coming up. any of the young rookies who are like trying to get into this game, if I can give them any advice that will make it easier for them or help them or impart what I've learned through the experience, generally that's the attitude. And you see many of these players go on to become coaches or, you know, work in the front offices of different teams or whatever. And I think, I mean, well, we saw it on Love is Blind. That's kind of starting to happen now with Chelsea from season 4 or 5 or whatever. She announced on the reunion that she's now a casting director. So that's starting to happen a little bit.
What better casting director than a person who was on the show who can be like, look how it's changed my life in all these positive ways. I can do this for you.
Exactly. But I think Vial is the asshole professional athlete. He's the one who would like spit in your face instead of try to help you get through this process.
Unless you're a Final Four.
Even Final Four, though, he'll kiss their ass because he knows he has to for content. But I don't think he likes them. I don't think he likes anyone who can even approach his level. It's very easy for him to dismiss people and be like, they're wannabes, clout chasers, fuck them. But what about like Hannah Brown? He'll kiss her ass. What about even right now, Joey Graziadei? I bet he hates fucking Joey Graziadei because he's now being touted as like the greatest bachelor in the past decade or whatever. Yeah, and he's like, oh, I was a pretty good bachelor too. Fuck him.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
You remember when he was like shitting on Zach Shawcross and Clayton Eckert? He shits on all the other bachelors. And it's like, dude, you should be helping them.
He definitely has shit on this whole era as like, no one's great anymore.
Being a bachelor is a fucking brotherhood. All of those guys should be together. And you should have a meeting, I think, every year of all the leads, bachelors and bachelorettes, where you get to sit and listen to fucking Alex Michelle impart wisdom to you, where you get to sit and listen to Trista Sutter. I mean, they bring her back into the show to impart wisdom to fucking Golden God Gary. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like there is...
And she does on AFOG.
Yeah, there's just so much missed. And like, shoot that. Invite all of them to come for a summit and shoot that. And air that as a special fucking thing on some Sunday afternoon on ABC, you know, like there's just so much left on the table because the family of leads and the family of players is so fractured. And I think this, like what you're seeing here from Vial, this like highly competitive attitude about like, fuck these wannabes. It's like, they're not wannabes, dude. They're playing the game you played and maybe they're not going to achieve your success.
Doing exactly what you did.
Yes.
I don't understand.
I don't either. And,
going on a TV show.
Yeah.
Why would you go on a TV show unless you want to be something?
This is a guy, by the way, who just fucking went on World's Toughest Test and is now going to be co-hosting a new show with Patty Stanger that's coming out imminently. It's like, what are you doing then? Are you not chasing clout? No, what I'm doing.
He's a matchmaker.
Yeah, I care. I write books about, you know, how to date, don't text your exes and things. So that's real.
Don't be a wannabe.
Anyways.
You know, some of these fan podcasts, you know, all their content is me. Why are they reporting on me?
We've only got 4 more clips here from The Great One. So we do have to move on. But I agree with you. You'll have some more opportunities to use your Nick Vial voice very soon.
Oh, yeah. Behind the paywall, please.
In this next clip, The Great One breaks down Sleucian protocol and the reason everyone really goes on reality TV. You're going to love this one. Here we go. If you want to hear this clip and you want to hear the entirety of the 4 other clips we have from this Vial Files where he's shitting on the micro podcast, please go to patreon.com/gameofroses and join us in the bottom of the pit. You'll get access to this episode, all of our other Digging Deepers, all those Pace Case Palapas, all those Clues Corners, ad-free episodes of every episode. We hope to see you in the pit very soon.
It's the pit. You can get it in and dig around in all this content. It's the pit. Come on, admit you want to eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit. There's room enough to fit everyone who wants to come in. It's the pit. You can get it in and dig around in all this content. It's the pit. Come on, admit you want to eat up all these tasty tidbits. It's the pit. There's room enough to fit everyone who wants to come in. It's the pit.
creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver five times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.